Barrett, and I'm an artist. I went to Parsons School of Design in New York City and stayed on there for another 12 years afterwards. I didn't know for sure I would love that, but I fell in love with that city. And so when I was a little girl, I actually painted photorealism and like copied photographs. I would look at something, I would be outside, or I would draw somebody, and I would make it as close to a photograph as I could. When I was in art school, I actually was dreaming at night. I mean, I was so stressed out to get finals done and get all my studies done, and I was having these, I wasn't sleeping well, and I was having these dreams where I was painting abstract paintings and solving these paintings in my dream and coming to conclusion and going from start to finish and having these paintings finished by the time I woke up. And it was actually disturbing me that I couldn't paint like that when I was awake. And I had this teacher that was, he just was the perfect person for me to talk to about it. And he was saying, well, you know, I'm intrigued by this. Show me what you're talking about. And I said, well, it's kind of like this person right here. And if I tear this part off and I put this painting of this other person's on top of it, it's kind of like that, but way more motion with my arms. And he said, then what I'd like you to do is start making those. And so at that point in my life, I changed from, he was saying basically, so he would have us do still lives, and still lives are versus portrait, it's anything like bowls of fruit and things, and he would bring all of this stuff in from his garage and have us painting hockey sticks with old, like this was one of his things actually, it was a doll of his of 1950s Donald Duck, and I abstracted this in his class because he was saying, okay, so all this stuff, some of the stuff he brought wasn't exciting to me, so I would bring this little box of things, and I had some shells in there, and I had some, you know, knickknacks, I had some jewelry in there, and some photographs of mostly sea creatures, and I really love the water, and so it was a lot of things like that, and then I had some paint in that box, too, because it was just starting to gather some junk. Well, he said, so in order to stop thinking in terms of what you see in reality and start painting about your emotions, you lose the horizon line. So it flip the box up. And he would take my box of knickknacks and he'd flip it up. And so as I was painting and he'd be talking to other students in the class and stuff, every once in a while if I got stuck, he would just walk past me and flip my box up. Flip the box up, you know, and so within a couple months, I actually changed my art style completely, completely. And once a week for the entire day on Tuesdays, there was a classroom that was empty. And I took that classroom, it was about the size of this, maybe a tiny bit smaller, and I put canvases on every wall, and I would work on something while I still had the inspiration for that one, and then I would, you know, try to walk away from it before I ruined it and go to the next one. And I was solving multiple paintings at once, at least five at a time, so that I could figure out how to make these dream paintings a reality and make what was inside of me come out. And I did quite a bit of writing at that time because Parsons, I mean, it's a serious school, and they want to know what you're thinking and why, and you have to prove it. And in the critiques, they were six-hour-long critiques where they'd rip you to shreds if you didn't know what you're talking about. And so I started doing writing about my process, and especially when I woke up in the morning after having one of these dreams, I hurried and wrote everything down. Some of it was garbage, and by the time I, you know, got up and ready for school, I could read that it was garbage, but some of them were pretty smart and emotional. They ended up being about emotion. And what I realized is that they were about memories. They were about something special to me or horrible, but it was about a snapshot in time. It was about a memory, and it was my feelings about it. And the reason I started to need abstraction is that when it becomes emotional, and we're talking about a memory, right? There are so many layers of that memory that happen, even as I'm experiencing things in my life right now, I go back to that memory and it's got pieces of things in it. And it's not like a photorealistic painting where somebody can make you look right at that, you know, right at that part because that's the part in focus and they're, you know, directing you right there. Well, it's not that easy when it comes to something emotional. And then all of a sudden with abstract painting, there are a few things that it doesn't necessarily make sense to the whole population because some people don't have the background to know what they're looking at with an abstract painting, but we're all walking on this planet together. There are certain things that will always make sense. Gravity. Gravity makes sense. As soon as you put a horizon line, all of a sudden there's gravity. There is either ocean and sky or land and sky. All of a sudden we have solid ground. So anytime we put a horizon in an abstract, and this is, so what we're going to do today is either a seascape or a landscape, but keep it as simple as we can just so some people haven't painted before. Decide on that first, and then we'll go forward with embedding a memory in it. So that's a little bit background about me and why I started working this direction. When I moved back to Utah, it's been about 3 years now. So when I moved back to Utah permanently and got a position here and decided to stay, I actually didn't want to feel sorry for myself for missing out on that big city and all of a sudden food choices are a little narrow, right? And so I didn't want to feel sorry for myself and I started doing things I couldn't do in the big city there and I started hiking and river rafting and running in the mountains and mountain biking and doing things that they're not readily accessible in Manhattan. And because I'm out in nature now, all of a sudden my stimulus for making art has changed. And I still make abstracted paintings, but they have become landscapes just because of the beauty in this state. So now this particular project, for instance, I'm going to talk to you for a second about horizon line. Where you put the horizon line in a picture, this is I don't know if you can see it very well, I'll pass it around. This ends up being a landscape with mostly sky. The horizon line is at the very bottom right here. See this little strip? Oh, oh, thanks. And then this one right here, the horizon line, see how it's at the very top? And so this is a seascape with a very slim little strip of sky. And so by putting one line across of an abstract, we actually can find a lot of ground. We can ground ourselves. We can find where we are because of gravity, because of this law that is natural, and we all understand it. So in this project, what I'd like to do is we have square canvases. Oh, thanks. We have square canvases, and the horizon line is actually going to be high. So this is the sky in either one, right? This one ends up with the color choice, it ends up being a landscape versus a seascape, just because of the color choices. Now, take a look at the square of yellow. If we put little squares in that, if we put a whole bunch of little squares, then it becomes a cityscape because we just put a big building in the middle of it. And so there are a lot of things we can do by taking one simple shape, which is a square, and we're going to basically divide it into thirds and put color, color, color. And we're going to start with that. So what I'd like you to do is close your eyes for a minute. And I know that some of you have prepared by bringing a token or a picture or a symbol of something with you that reminds you of a special memory or a memory that you'd like to record into a painting. And one thing that we understand as humans, even in an abstract art piece, is color. Color associates mood. It associates safety, or danger. In your mind, try to figure out what color scheme this memory is. If the colors are very light, if the colors are very vibrant, try to associate which color your memory is. And if it's the landscape one or if it's the seascape colors, try to figure out which one it is for you. And go ahead and open your eyes. You know, one really interesting thing about the meme that I was looking at this morning was the same meme that Rose just shared, the one at the end with the little girl, and she had those butterfly wings on, and it said, "What if I fall? My darling, what if you fly?" I was actually thinking about that with these paintings, and the thing is about making a mark as a human, it matters. The mark that we make as individual, it matters. These memories of ours, they matter. They're ours. They're part of us. They're a part of our heart. And so we really can't go wrong with this as we make a mark. As we start our project, we can, maybe things will unfold. If you make a mark that is not the prettiest mark, we could make it dry and we can paint right over it. This teacher of mine was teaching us that you make a mark wrong, scribble right over it and keep painting. And that's what this painting is. It's, you have to look really closely to even see that it's Donald Duck, because I made so many marks on top of Donald. I mean, you can see some feet and you can see a little baby duck right here. That's something to keep in mind. Also, keep it easy. Keep it easy. Some of us will make marks very carefully and some of us will just be wild about it, and it's all perfect because it's us. It's our mark, and it matters. So that's all. So what we're going to do first is just in your mind, with your canvas, split it into three, and we're going to do the sky and then do the rest of it. Kind of block it out into squares, into shapes first. And we're going to do it light first, and then we'll dry it with the hairdryer or let it dry, and then we'll go a little thicker with the next layer. And we need to get colors on your palettes.
So I was talking to Beck, and she told me I should share this story. So as food for thought, we went to a conference in California a few years ago, and there's a woman who paints while people are speaking. She does prophetic art. But one of the things that she said was that don't let yourself be limited. Because we were watching her paint next to the band, and she had bubble wrap, and she was using that for texture. And she said, "I never thought I would be doing stuff like this, but God has me doing different things and using almost anything available." So as a reminder, don't get stuck inside the boxes. Let yourself be free enough to experiment, because this is supposed to be an emotional expression, not necessarily, you know, the detail in the trees and the mountains. So don't be afraid to play.